Welcome to Bed Crime Stories Podcast. I'm your host, T. If you're interested in true crime cases, both new and old, be sure to subscribe to my channel. Also, do me a favor and smash that like button, hit the notification bell, and share my content far and wide. And if you want to support the work I do, please consider a Patreon membership. The case I'm about to share with you has not yet seen its alleged perpetrators go to trial. Thus, when I talk about their roles in the crime, it is with the word allegedly. As we know, suspects are innocent until proven guilty or until they spill their guts and take a plea deal. And now, without further ado, let's dig in. Saturday, March 30th of 2024 starts out as innocently as one could imagine. Two mothers, 27-year-old Veronica Butler and 39-year-old Jillian Kelly, are setting out on a 30-mile road trip south from Hugoton, Kansas, where they live, to the Oklahoma Panhandle. Veronica is excited because she's going to collect her two young children, a daughter and a son, from their paternal grandmother, Tiffany Adams, and she's going to take them to a birthday party that her family has planned. Jillian, if not a friend, is an acquaintance of Veronica's from church. Married to the church's pastor, Jillian has been approved by the court to serve as a supervisor for Veronica's visits with her kiddos. Veronica is excited about the visit, but she's probably a tad fearful about gathering the children at the planned pickup location. You see, Veronica doesn't have full legal custody of her two kids. Instead, her children's father, Wrangler Rickman, was granted full custody after they split. It's been said that Veronica's brother may have messed with the children, if you know what I mean. Now, this is speculation as far as I know, so do not take that as fact. The agreement was that Veronica would only be allowed to see the children on Saturdays during supervised visits. But the reality is that Wrangler and Veronica's kids are living, at least for the moment, with Wrangler's mother, 54-year-old Tiffany Michelle Adams, a woman who has pretty much decided that she's solely in charge of the children. One of the reasons for this is that Wrangler is currently in a drug rehab facility, and his mother was granted custody of the kids in his place. But even when Wrangler isn't in rehab, his own mother sometimes refuses him access to his kids. Making things worse is the bad blood between Tiffany Adams and Veronica Butler. Tiffany might just be one of those mother-in-laws from Beelzebub's lair who can't stand the woman who gave birth to her grandchildren and who believes she, Tiffany, would make a better mother than the kid's birth mom. Tiffany seems reminiscent of other grandmothers who allegedly turned into evil plotters against their grandchildren's mother or father. There's Angela Wagner, remember her? Angela, her husband, and her two grown sons allegedly took the lives of 8 members of the Roden family in Pike County, Ohio, back in April of 2016. Why would they do such a thing? In order to gain full custody of their granddaughter, a little girl Angela's son Jake had with Hannah Roden. And who can forget Donna Sue Adelson, the steely grandma who's currently locked away in a jail cell in Florida, awaiting trial for her alleged role in her son-in-law Dan Markell's death. Adelson, like Wagner, allegedly wanted full control over her two grandsons' lives, and to do this, she allegedly felt their father needed to go bye-bye permanently, as in, he needed to die. I'm going to call this affliction that Angela Wagner, Donna Adelson, and possibly Tiffany Adams, too, all suffer from. Allegedly, grandmother aside, that's when sweet little old grandma decides to stop baking cookies and instead goes full tilt Rambo on her grandbaby's mother or father. Back to Tiffany Adams and Veronica Butler. Now, at the time of the crime, the two women are engaged in a bitter and problematic custody battle over Veronica and Wrangler's children. Tiffany believes that the kids belong in her care. And although it's her son Wrangler who has legal custody of the kids, Tiffany sometimes refuses to let him see his children. And as for Veronica, Tiffany believes that Veronica is allowing her brother in Kansas to mess with the children. And Tiffany uses this belief to justify the evil plan she's allegedly about to put into motion. This whole thing has been in the works for quite some time, and Tiffany's managed to convince three other adults of the righteousness of it. Those three people are her boyfriend, 43-year-old Tad Cullum, and their two friends, 50-year-old Cole Trumbly and his wife, 44-year-old Cora Trumbly. If I didn't know better, I would say Cole and Cora Trumbly were characters out of a Harry Potter book or a Charles Dickens tale, but I digress. All four of these people belong to an anti-government group, allegedly, with religious affiliations, and the group meets weekly. They are known as God's Misfits. Misfits? About God's nut jobs. How do you talk about God while at the same time allegedly plotting the deaths of two innocent mothers? So as Veronica basks in her excitement about seeing her kids this Saturday, Tiffany and company are allegedly getting into their roles as hitmen and hitwomen, and they're making sure they're ready for an ambush attack on Veronica and Jillian when the two women arrive. The four are gathering up their newly purchased burner phones and weapons. They want to be ready for when Veronica and Jillian arrive. In fact, Tiffany told the woman who she pays to supervise Veronica's visits, that she won't be needed for a few weeks. Tiffany might just be fond of that woman, and she likely doesn't want her to be a witness to anything nefarious. If that woman were to see this stuff go down, then Tiffany and company would probably have to do her in. Tiffany told Veronica to bring one of her own court-approved supervisors for this visit. Enter the innocent Jillian Kelly, who agreed to be Veronica's supervisor on this Saturday. Jillian herself has two children who are waiting along with their father for Jillian's safe return. Adding fuel to grandmother Tiffany Adams' fire is an upcoming court hearing scheduled for April 17th. Veronica's attorney is pretty sure that Veronica is going to be awarded unsupervised extended visits with her children during that court hearing. So Tiffany is steamed up about that upcoming hearing and likely feeling like it's now or never if she wants to take care of the Veronica Butler problem, allegedly. In my mind, I picture Veronica and Jillian sipping their morning coffee, exchanging some small talk during the drive to Oklahoma. But as they're doing all that and they're headed to the agreed upon exchange location, a place called Four Corners, unbeknownst to them, four people are allegedly waiting for them with weapons, ill intent, and the belief that what they are about to do is justifiable. Now, the police have evidence that Veronica and Jillian arrived around 9:40 a.m. to Highway 95 and Road L, a highway in Texas County, Oklahoma. That is not where the two women were scheduled to do the exchange at 10 a.m. sharp. The swapping point, Four Corners, is actually 5 miles farther down the road from this location, and it's at Highway 95 and U.S. 64. Only those in the know about the crime and Veronica and Jillian know exactly what happened next. Meanwhile, back in Kansas, Veronica's family is waiting for her, Jillian, and the two kids to arrive for that children's birthday party as planned. When the women and the kids fail to arrive, two members of Veronica's family head out to search for her. Eventually, they find her abandoned car near Highway 95 in Rodell, south of Elkhart, Kansas. The family members immediately alert police to the find around midday. Those two family members are immediately frantic because there's a lot of blood on the road and on the edge of the road. Also, Veronica's glasses are on the ground near a broken hammer, and it's obvious this was no robbery, because Jillian Kelly's purse is at the scene. What's weird is that a pistol magazine is found inside it, but no weapon. I wonder if that belonged to Jillian or if that's something that the perpetrators left. The police arrive and they examine the vehicle inside and out and the area surrounding it. They conclude that a severe injury has been sustained. Later on, they will say that the two women are believed to be deceased, and it's likely based on the amount of red stuff they found at that crime scene. Thanks to several tips from the public, the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, or OSBI, quickly tracks down and arrests four individuals: grandmother Tiffany Adams, her boyfriend Tad Cullum, and, of course, the Trombleys. All four individuals are booked into the Texas County Jail on two counts of first-degree murder, two counts of taking adults against their will, and one count of conspiracy to commit murder in the first degree. To calm the locals, law enforcement holds a press conference where they state, quote, "There are no suspects at large. The public is not in danger. We are extremely grateful that we were able to locate and arrest the four people that we believe are responsible for this crime." Texas County Sheriff Matt Boley also tells reporters that the attack appeared to be targeted. He says that when police arrived at the scene, they found, quote, "some things that just weren't adding up and felt this wasn't a random deal," end quote. So, two long weeks go by as searchers scour the earth in Oklahoma and Kansas to find Veronica and Jillian. Then, two bodies are found in rural Texas County, Oklahoma, on Sunday, April 14th. Those bodies are currently with the Oklahoma Office of the Chief Medical Examiner, and officials aren't saying exactly where the bodies were located or whether or not they were on private property. They also would not discuss the condition of the bodies. The medical examiner is working to identify them and to determine a cause and manner of death. In Oklahoma, first-degree murder is eligible for capital punishment, but prosecutors have not yet decided if they're going to pursue that. Down in Oklahoma, they use lethal injections. Now, because the drugs used to make those injections are hard to get a hold of, way worse than the diet medications Ozempic and Mounjaro, prisoners on death row often sit there for decade upon decade. Now, in the arrest affidavit, the police lay out their case against the four suspects. The affidavit states that grandmother Tiffany Adams told them that Veronica canceled her Saturday visit with her kids during a phone call at 9 a.m. on Saturday, March 30th, the day of the crime. And Veronica's phone records confirm that phone call, but that was at the same time Veronica was in Hugoton in the process of picking up Jillian Kelly for the drive to Oklahoma. Tiffany also told the police that she was at home at the time Veronica and Jillian disappeared. It is believed that Wrangler was in the rehab center when all of this went down, and that rehab is in Oklahoma City. Now, apparently the custody battle between Veronica and Wrangler Rickman began back in February of 2019. So this has been going on for a very long time. According to the affidavit, there are recordings where Wrangler talks about death threats made by his mother Tiffany and her boyfriend Tad Cullum. The affidavit doesn't make it clear who the death threats were against. Could it have been Veronica Butler? That certainly seems likely. And it was just last month that Veronica requested those extended visitations with her children. Remember, that hearing was scheduled for April 17th, so that was upcoming when all this happened. When the police obtained Tiffany Adams' phone, they saw that the phone had been used to search for the following topics: taser pain level, gun shops, prepaid cellular phones, and how to get someone out of their home. The affidavits also identify a juvenile for whom they use the abbreviation CW, who told investigators that she overheard conversations about Veronica Butler. The teen claims that Cora said she was involved in the deaths and that Twombly's husband, Cole Twombly, Tiffany Adams, and Tad Cullum were also involved. Now, per this same teen, CW, Tiffany provided burner phones to use so that the four could communicate without using their personal phones. This teen also said she saw two burner phones charging on Cora Twombly's nightstand. The teen also said that the four suspects, along with another guy, are part of an anti-government group with religious affiliations. Again, this group is called God's Misfits. I believe them. They are misfits. Investigators are also saying that Cora and Cole Twombly told a relative that they were going to be on a mission on the morning of March 30th. Yes, I'm sure they were viewing this like some sort of moral mission to make sure Veronica Butler would never see her children again. Why is this mission stuff giving me Alex Cox vibes? Remember him from the Doomsday Mom, Lori Vallow, and cray-cray prophet Chad Daybell case? Per the affidavit, the Twiddly-Dee Twomblys arrived back home around noon on March 30th and told a relative to clean the pickup truck that they had been driving. The relative asked why and was allegedly told, quote, that things did not go as planned, but that they would not have to worry about her, meaning Veronica, again, end quote. Scary. Sounds like maybe the bodies were placed in the pickup truck at some point. And I'm wondering if what didn't go according to plan might be that Jillian Kelly had brought along a weapon of her own. You're talking Kansas, Oklahoma. People are packing, you know what I mean? And if Jillian or Veronica did have a weapon, did they try to defend themselves? And is that why things didn't go according to plan? Maybe the plan was to take them somewhere else because they wouldn't want to have all that red stuff in a public place right there on the roadway. They probably wanted it to look like the two women abandoned the car and just walked off. Definitely, I'm thinking something went down there with one of those weapons. I mean, I'm sure Veronica was no dummy and she knew the type of people she was dealing with on, you know, Wrangler's side. So here's what the investigators believe went down when Veronica and Jillian arrived in Oklahoma. Cole and Cora Twombly blocked the road to divert Veronica and Jillian to where Tiffany Adams, her boyfriend Tad Cullum, and another man were waiting. Now, the relative who spoke to Cora Twombly asked her if the bodies were put in a well, and Cora allegedly replied, something like that. This same relative told the authorities that there had been previous unsuccessful attempts to do in Veronica Butler. One of them would have involved throwing an anvil through Veronica's windshield, but supposedly Veronica never came out of her house that day, so the plan could not go down. Could that be why Tiffany Adams did a Google search on how to get people out of their house? It's kind of weird. I can tell you how. Shout fire! Now, while the investigators were speaking to this relative, apparently old Cole and Cora Twombly were desperately trying to get to the relative. The investigators said the Twomblys were, quote, verbally aggressive. They were probably freaking out, like, don't tell the cops anything. The affidavits also state that Tiffany Adams bought 5 stun guns in Guymon, Oklahoma on March 23rd. She also bought 3 prepaid cellular phones on February 13th. So this plan was premeditated and it was in motion for a very long time. The OSBI says information related to cell phone locations and phone use shows that all 3 of those prepaid phones were at the area where Veronica's car was located and which is the last known location of Veronica and Jillian at the time of their disappearance. The 3 phones were first powered on at or near Tad Cullum's house at different times before March 30th, There's also evidence, allegedly, of two of the three phones being at the Twombly residence. Busted! According to the OSBI, after Veronica and Jillian disappeared, the prepaid phones were at another person's property in a pasture where fresh dirt work had been done. Yes, they said fresh dirt work. A hole had been dug and filled back in and then covered with hay. The site is about 8.5 miles from where the women vanished. Could that be where Veronica and Jillian, or those two bodies, were found? The three prepaid phones stopped transmitting on the morning of March 30th near the fresh dirt site and near the Twombly home. Now, the person who owns this land said that Tad Cullum rents the pasture, and Tad apparently asked on March 28th or 29th if he could cut down a tree, remove a stump, bury some concrete, and do, quote, dirt work. Busted! The owner gave Cullum permission for this work. And apparently Cullum used a skid steer loader on March 30th, and it was then gone by noon that day. Oh my, do the police have receipts? These misfits are going down. FYI, a skid steer loader is a small to medium-sized construction vehicle, usually with one of those big metal buckets on the front, and they're used typically to dig and move dirt. These idiots thought they'd planned the perfect crime. They spent weeks and months getting ready for it, and yet they left behind so much evidence. I suspect they're going to disappear themselves very soon behind prison walls, and then possibly find themselves on the bullet train to Beelzebub's lair. What say you guys? Let me know in the comments, and I'll see you next time on Bed Crime Stories.